Rabbi Yonason Martin.
Good morning. I'm grateful to Rav Nachum David for the opportunity and the honor to speak here on this Chashuva stage. For 11 years, I've been working with children, mostly English-speaking children in Eretz Yisrael. Children, teenagers. And the truth is, I used to be an expert, and now I have three of my own teenagers. And so, now I see the challenge directly. So I don't know that I have anything, any expert advice for you, but I want to share with you my experience from speaking to thousands and thousands, literally, of children and parents. A fundamental issue that we have in the Frum community is that we use interchangeably two concepts. We talk about off the derech, kids are off the derech, and we talk about kids who are at risk. So much so that somebody once said to me, I was telling them that we work with the local, the city, the government, and someone said to me, what do they care about kids at risk? They're all off the derech. Meaning that we look at children who are struggling with Frumkeit, and children who are at risk as the same thing. And it's very, very important to distinguish between the two things. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Chaviv Adam Shenivra Betzelem. The Mishnah continues, Chaviv in Yisrael, Shenikru Vanim Lamakim, Chiba Yisrael Nedaslam, Shenikru Vanim Lamakim, Shenema Banim Atem Lashem Alekechem, and then at the end, Chaviv in Yisrael, Shenitalam Kli Chemda, Chiba Yisrael Nedaslai, Lahem, Shenitalam Kli Chemda, Shenema Kilechatoiv, Nasatalachem Terosia Tazoivu. The Mishnah goes through three stages of matanas the Baruch Hashem gave. The first thing is a tzelem Elokim. Every person is born, is given a tzelem Elokim. There are children who before they struggle with the chichemda, with the Torah, they struggle for years with what I understand to be the Tzelem Elokim. What does it mean, teens at risk, or children at risk? In Eretz Yisrael today, there was a 5-year study done, a tremendous amount of research, and they defined teens at risk. There's 7 areas that if there's a continued issue and problem and challenge in any one of these 7 areas, that means a teen at risk. I'll say the 7 areas quickly, and then we'll go through them a little bit. Physical health and development. A child who obviously who doesn't have what to eat. A child who can't hear well. That child is at risk. So when we think of at risk and we think of someone, some boy or girl doing who knows what, we don't think about the child, the 9-year-old boy or girl, 10-year-old boy or girl, who can't hear well or can't see well. I know a child who had a very difficult time in elementary school and high school. In Beis Medrash, he decided, I'm going to get very, very serious. And he learned, and he steiged, and it didn't go for him. It didn't go well. He still couldn't learn. And somehow, he found out, his parents found out, that he had a vision problem, that he wasn't able to process well the Gemara. He would stare at the page, he would read it, he was able to read, but he couldn't process it well. At the age of 19, he did vision therapy, and it changed his life. But could you imagine if that boy would have gotten vision therapy when he was 5 or 6 years old? Family dynamics is the second area teens at risk, of children at risk. There are children who don't get love and support at home. There are children who coming home is not a feeling of coming home, but a feeling of coming to a place that doesn't welcome them or they don't feel at home. Learning and skills acquisition. The ability to tools. There's something called executive functioning. Executive functioning is not something that everyone knows about, learning disabilities, but there's things that we don't necessarily pick up on. The executive function is the ability that if I need to do something that takes 5 steps, so I'll know how to do which step before the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth. And there are children developmentally, obviously a 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old doesn't have the ability to plan in that way. But when you turn 8 or 9 or 10, so you're supposed to develop the ability. And there are kids who they can't put their, I don't know what they call it here, the knapsack, they can't put their books together, they can't figure out how to get to school on time. So what do we do as parents? We push, we make it happen for them. But at a certain point in time, they have to pick it up on themselves. Emotional health and well-being. There are children who struggle with depression, with emotional issues, with anger. And these kids suffer. They suffer tremendously. Often for 3 or 4 or 5 years before anyone really knows if the child is not disturbing others and the child is just suffering inside themselves, then that won't necessarily be caught. Social integration. Everyone knows there's a child who's the class nebuch. There are children who don't know how to read social situations. If you show them a picture of something happening or a sequence of pictures, they won't understand what's happening in those pictures. And when they don't know how to start friendships, they don't know how to act when they're playing. They suffer. These children suffer for years, often, again, unnoticed. Protection against harm by others. There are children who, unfortunately, even in the Frum community, are abused in different ways. That's the sixth area. The seventh area is protection against self-destructive behaviors. The struggles that people have, children and adults, with things they know are self-destructive. This is a part of the Tzelem Elokim. It's not necessarily always a religious issue, even if it's something that has to do with Averis. This is something that we need to know. Children, even adults, even big Talmidei Chachamim, can struggle with issues that are an addiction or a compulsion. This is something that is, it's an issue, it's a mental health issue, not necessarily a religious issue. So these are the 7 areas of what it means at risk. And as parents, as educators, as a community, we need to know that these are the things we need to focus on. While off the derech, what we say, and when we say off the derech, we mean at a certain point, it's a religious category, where we say at a certain point it's not clear where kids, when do kids graduate nebuch to off the derech. But it's something that we see kids who are struggling often, not every time, but often the kids that we see are off the derech. It means they struggled for 3, 4, 7 years with one of the first 7 categories. And it's interesting because people ask me all the time, what is it? What is it that makes kids go off the derech? It's not one thing. It's one of those 7 things. Now, why is it important to distinguish between at-risk issues and off the derech? So there's a number of things. Sometimes the Rambam writes in the Shemayna Prakim that we learn Refuas HaNefesh from Refuas HaGuf. And just like in Refuas HaGuf, there's many different systems, the digestive system, the immune system, the respiratory system. And these things affect each other, but if we don't find the sherish of the problem, then we can't really help. And sometimes whatever we do makes it worse. That's one difference, one important point. The second point is that I can talk to you about these 7 issues, but I don't consider myself an expert in any one of those 7 categories. And what's unfortunate is that, Baruch Hashem, we have professionals, and we have training, and we have the ability to bring people who can help parents, Rebbeim, deal with these 7 issues. But it's important that everybody knows, Rabbanim, Rebbeim, parents, we have to be aware of what the issues could be, and we have to know what we are able to fix. And lastly, there's many things, but a third issue, the Gemara in Shabbos says Hahu Tzeduki, the Chazi Larava, the Kama'ayim B'Shmaitza, he was learning the Yasva Atzvata Didei Tusikari, he was sitting on his fingers. The Gemara says that his fingers had blood coming from him. So he said, "Amalei ama psiza v'kadmisu pumaychu adonaychu akati b'parchusaisu kamaisu." The Tzaduki had a tain in him. How could he? Why? You're an ama psiza. You're hasty. By matan Torah, yibarlechu v'shmira. You should have listened first. Imetzisu kablisu. If you could be makabel the Torah, v'iloy loy kablisu. So Rashi says over there that he knew that the reason why we said Nasa Venishma, why were we able to say Nasa Venishma? Because the Rabbi Hashem took us out on Kamfein Nisharim. The Rabbi Hashem cared for us. We felt the love of the Rabbi Hashem. We knew that he wasn't going to give us a Torah that was too hard for us. The sight of our children being able to be makabel Torah from us, being able to become, say Nasa V'Nishma and accept it, is when they feel that we care about them. And we do care about them. But when they feel that the main thing that concerns us is whether they're keeping halacha, whether they put on tefillin that day. I had a father who came to me. His child was suicidal, which means the tzelem elokim of that child was so damaged that he was literally suicidal, and we had to be careful and make sure that we had to monitor him. And the father came to me and said, "My child's not putting on tefillin. That's the thing that bothered him." And on some level, we all do that. On some level, when that child is struggling, we care. But for some reason, what really, really bothers us is when the child starts to ask questions, when the child starts to walk around the streets a little different, when the child starts doing things that are keneged halacha, that's when we get really alarmed, when they start going off the derech. But the child then doesn't feel that the parents, that the Rebbe, cares about him. The child feels that we, parents, care about his observance. The Gemara is saying that our ability to be mekabel Torah is based on our ability to feel, first the Rebbeinu Shalom, and then our parents love us, care for us, and will be there for us. Somebody asked me what all these problems weren't around 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, but now there's learning disabilities, now there's reading problems, now there's addictions, emotional issues. What happened 20, 30 years ago? And I believe the answer is that 20, 30, 40 years ago, there were walls around. There always were some children, some people who left, but there were walls around our community. And there was a strength of discipline that we were all brought up with. Today is a different world. Today there are no walls. There is no discipline. Not there's no discipline, but the discipline is a different type. I'll give you one example that we all talk about technology. And it's something that we all have to struggle with and deal with. But even if you have the kosherest cell phone in the world, and you can't get anything on it, you can barely make a phone call on it, what does that phone do to us as human beings who are able to make commitments and keep them? It used to be that if you made up with somebody to meet them by the bus stop at 10 o'clock, you had to be there at 10 o'clock. Because if you weren't there, there was no way to let him know that you weren't going to be there. Today, everything is provisional. And our children grow up with that. Our children grow up in a situation where, yeah, I might go, I might be there, I might do that, but if it doesn't work out, I'll call you and let you know. So there are no walls today. And you can blame it's technology, and it's the fact also that the Jewish community has grown. As a community, we're a tremendous size now, and all the children know and feel that there are other options out there. The street is very, very welcoming, extremely welcoming. It used to be that if you wanted to go to certain places, you had to take off your yarmulke, take off your tzitzis. Today you can go with your yarmulke, with your tzitzis, wherever. The world's welcoming. The world is in the postmodern world. We all, to a certain extent, get to choose, or the children get to choose what they'll be. And if we won't work on these seven areas, we won't become experts as a community in dealing with mental health issues, in dealing with learning disabilities, then children will take other options. I want to make a few more points about the religious focus. It can't be marchiv. These seven areas is kol ha'terei kula. Adam is a olam katan. So the development of a person in these areas, in these seven areas, of physical health, emotional, social, educational, protection of harm, all these areas is a olam malei, and we need to make sure that we have proper training and the professionals. But in terms of just the religious focus, I want to make a few points. The first thing is, without an active, loving relationship with our children, there's very little we can do. We love our children, and our children love us. It doesn't make a difference how much they're screaming and how much they're running around and how much they're whatever they're doing. We love them, and they love us. But that's not the same thing as an active, flowing, loving relationship. And very often, when children are rebelling, the relationship is not there. And we have to know then that as much as we will darshan, and whatever we will say to them, their hearts are not open to us. So what does that mean? It means two things. It means, number one, we have to invest when children are young. When a child is 9, 10, a child will call their father, their mother, come visit me at night. Child's 14, 15, they don't call anymore. We need to know to do our best to build that relationship, to build that attachment, to build that strong connection to go into the difficult teenage years. And then we also need to know that as parents and as a community, we need to provide relationships for our children. What does it mean, a relationship? A relationship means not every Rebbe, not every adult in a child's life is a relationship for that child. A relationship means that the child feels comfortable saying whatever he wants to say to that adult. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a Rebbe. Sometimes it can't be a Rebbe. It can't be a parent. But a child who's struggling benefits tremendously from someone that they feel they can share. I was just on Shabbos, someone came over to me and said, what do I do with a 12-year-old child who comes to me with questions about Amunah? And he described to me how, till the child came to him, the child said, I have a problem, I have a question, but I can't ask it. And the child waited, and the child came back, and till he was able to say, he said, if my father knew, he would kill me. So I said to this Rebbe, the first thing you need to say to this child is that it's okay. A child who has a question is suffering. He didn't read all the philosophical works of that philosopher and that person and that. He doesn't need you to have a major discussion. He needs to know that he's okay. That it's okay. That you care about him and that you'll be there for him. So the relationship is much more important than any one thing you'll say. Because as human beings, we sometimes, thoughts fall into our head, and sometimes we think this, sometimes we think that, and we can debate for hours and hours and hours and hours. But the bottom line is that if the child feels that there's someone, a role model, a firm person, who cares about him, then that child has a much more better chance of doing well. The second point that I want to make is that if we look at the Torah, if we look at all the mitzvahs in the Torah, and we look at the ratio of mitzvahs that demand us to care for the gashmias of another person versus the mitzvahs that demand us to care about the ruchmias of another person, we see an incredible thing. I didn't count them, but there must be many, many, many dozens of mitzvahs, Hafzalech, Kameicha, and Te'ina, and Prika, all the mitzvahs that you're supposed to help tzedakah and lending money. The Torah commands us dozens and dozens of ways to help the gashmias of another person. There's maybe two or three ways the Torah commands us to daige for the ruchnias of another person, of our children. Teichacha, it's not clear if it's, even in the time of Tanoim already, we said we're not sure if we can give teichacha. And even teichacha, the mitzvah of teichacha, when it says in the Torah, it says it, b'leisisnas achicha, b'levecha, achich, techiach, samisecha. It's a mitzvah ben adam l'chaveray. We spend so much time worrying about our own gashmias and our children's ruchnias. If we spent our time worrying about our own ruchnias and our children's gashmias, then we would have a lot more success with them. And the last point I want to say about helping our children with the off the derech, or the religious issues, is that Rabbeinu Bachaya, in the Shara Avodas Hashem, makes a distinction between two sources, or two systems of serving Hashem. There's a source, is the Torah, and then there's a person's inner desire to serve Hashem. A person's inner sense of meaning of serving Hashem. The Torah has all the rules of the Shulchan Aruch, and all of our Yiddishkeit is the Torah. But one's own personal choices and how they serve Hashem and the way they feel is meaningful. Rabbeinu Bachaya describes seven reasons why, in a certain way, that system of serving Hashem is, in a certain way, has milas over the Torah. When we deal with children who have left or are struggling in a tremendous way, what we have to help them see is what's meaningful to them. We have to first see in ourselves what tefillah or Shabbos or what mitzvahs can we do in such a way that the child feels it, first of all, feels our own deep meaning, not just the chitzonius or the rituals or the things that we do because we have to, because we were brought up 30, 40 years ago. So we all grew up that you do what you have to do. How many of us dance by a Shabbos table? Many of us say Birchas HaMazon with a niggun, the standard niggun. But how many of us just sing Birchas HaMazon from our hearts in a way that our children can hear us? How many of us wake up in the morning and say, what does Hashem want from me today? And then how can we convey that to our children? How can we give these children who are struggling, who there are certain things that they can't do for now, or they struggle with, or they're not able to keep everything. But what's meaningful for them? I think that the most important thing for us to do is, again, to see this difference between a child who's struggling, a child who's suffering with any issue, it's not a religious issue, and do our best to help that child. And then when it comes to the religious aspects that we spoke about, to number one, to remember, it's about our relationship with that child, our relationship or others. It's about them feeling that we care about them, that we care about their gashmias, not just their ruchnias. And it's about these children finding something meaningful, something that is real, that speaks to them. Something that they see in us is real to us, and what they can learn from. I just want to end with one story. I'm running out of time, but I'll end with one story to just give chizuk and hope. There was a child. Another 10 minutes? Okay. There was a child who came to us, and he was suffering tremendously. Single mother who was dying. And the father, I don't think the father was Jewish, the father wasn't around. And this boy was a mess, he was wild, we needed to do something for him. It was the summer, coming the summer, and we needed to find something for him to do so he shouldn't damage himself and others. So there was a camp in Switzerland that we were thinking of sending him to, and we needed to find the funding for it. We needed to make sure it would work out. And in the meantime, we weren't sure if it was going to work out or not. And there was a Magen David Adom, a first aid course being given in Beit Shemesh. It was a 10-day course. And this camp started the third day. So if the camp would work out, he would basically not complete the course. He would just do the first 2 days, and then he would go off to Switzerland. So we weren't sure, is it worth giving him 2 days of first aid course just to keep him off the streets? Or should we just wait and see if the Switzerland camp worked out? And then we decided we have to set, even if it's just for 2 days, we have to set into this camp, to this the first aid course. And then he went. What happened was he went for 2 days, and then he went off to Switzerland. So he didn't complete the course. When he was in this camp in Switzerland, there was an extreme hike, and they were climbing down this mountain, a huge mountain, and the kid in front of him fell down the mountain. And this boy was the first person he ran down, and he did the CPR that he learned in the first 2 days of the course. And when the helicopter came, they said, "You saved this boy's life." So this boy, you never know which effort, which thing that we do will have a tremendous impact on the life of a child. And what thing that this child can do that will give them the personal meaning, that will reconnect them. We, as a community, we need to do what we can to make these children feel that we don't reject them. We all know that when people are becoming frum, when people are becoming Bali Tshuva, so when they're going in the direction of becoming frum, so they don't keep everything at the same time. What do we tell them? We tell them, okay, keep a little bit of Shabbos, keep a little bit of this. The main thing is your belief in Hashem. The main thing is your avodas Hashem. It's okay if this doesn't work for you. It's not even healthy to change your whole life in 1 second. And people gradually become more and more frum. And as a community, this wasn't true 40, 50 years ago, but now as a community we have figured out how to be warm and welcoming to these people and give them a sense that it's okay when they're not doing everything. So why is it that when children are going in the other direction, when our children who are frum, who start a little bit, they're having trouble with certain mitzvahs, as soon as they pass a certain point, they feel rejected. And there's a tremendous amount of anger that these children feel. And we have to learn as a community, because the real truth is that there's not much of a difference between those, the Baal Tshuva, who can't yet keep everything, and the child who suffered for many years and for whatever reason he can't keep everything right now. But the Baal Tshuva compliments us. We feel good, we feel flattered that this person is joining us, joining the Frumkeit. While the boy or girl was struggling, they threaten us. And we feel defensive, and we feel that they're going to affect others. And so we give them a message and they pick it up. That they're unwanted, that they're rejected, and as a community we need to find ways to show them that their efforts and their mitzvahs that they do are valuable to us. There was a Rosh Hashiva recently complained to me, he said to me, this is a Rosh Hashiva of a big yeshiva, thousands and thousands of Talmidim, and he said to me, "I'm not a Talmud Chacham." I said to him, "Yeah, but you built a tremendous yeshiva." He said, "Yeah, but I could have been a Talmud Chacham, and today I'm not a Talmud Chacham." And I said to him, "Do you believe, do you feel that you can look inside your heart and know what the Rabbeinu Shalom wants from you?" And he said, "Yes, you've comforted me." We all need to develop in ourselves and in our children the knowledge, the basic thing of what does Hashem want from me. We go back to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, it says, Chavav Adna Shenivra B'Tzelem. We spoke about the fact that every child needs to have these seven areas of growth at the Tzelem Elokim. But the next thing is not Torah. The next thing is Chaviv in Yisrael Shenikrim Banim L'Makim. Do we wake up in the morning, do we feel that we're Banim L'Makim? Can we give this over to our child? You're a child of Hashem. Before you get to the Kli Chemda, before you get to the Torah, you're a child of Hashem. And if we're able to give this over to our children, if we're able to take care of their physical needs, their emotional needs, their mental health, and we're also able to give them over a Torah, a Ruchnius, that they feel comes from a real concern and love for them, in a sense of the real deep, their your own connection to Hashem and their connection to Hashem, then Be'ez Hashem will have tremendous nachas and hatzlacha with our children and hatzlacha with ourselves. Thank you.